In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Text is the reading that you just heard from Matthew chapter 14. Let's listen to it one more time. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. What happens on Sunday morning after church? You probably know it varies from place to place. I remember some of the congregations that I've been in where what happens is immediately, particularly the men, rush outside to have their much-needed cigarette. In other congregations, there's a coffee hour, and people sit around and chat with one another. And then there are the congregations where people simply rush home to dinner when the service is over. But I suppose that's not the real question, is it? The real question about what happens after church is not whether you go out for a smoke or a cup of coffee or a meal, but what should happen in the spiritual lives of people when the Sunday morning service has ended. I guess what we're really talking about here is a model for ministry in the local congregation. And in a strange and wonderful way, Jesus provides that model in the words of Scripture that we're concentrating on this morning. The words are in an interesting place. They're tucked between the feeding of the 5,000 and the healing of a lot of people who were brought there with diseases and other infirmities, and the time when Jesus meets Peter coming to him walking on the water. But I think that these words between those two events give some clues as to what the pastor is to do and what his people are to do as they are in ministry together. It begins, as it always has to, with word and sacrament. Maybe stretching a little bit, but Jesus had preached to the people, he had healed their sick, he had fed them miraculously, and the disciples had picked up the fragments that remained. It was a wonderful example of the holistic ministry of our Savior, who himself bore all our sins and cured all our diseases. It was a wonderful example of him showing his real care for people. And it serves as a model for us to emulate as we gather for worship. For that's what worship is all about, isn't it? It's bringing to God's people God's healing power, first of all. It's the weekly time of healing through confession and absolution, time when our broken relationship with God is healed once again. It's the time when the pastor once again, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, proclaims to his people that ever-important message that Jesus lived and died and rose again that they might be restored to life in him. It's the time when God's people are fed with the Word and the Holy Sacrament. Just as in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus more than adequately fulfilled the needs of the people who had come to him. And of course, throughout this time, as they did, I'm sure, when Jesus was ministering to them, God's people respond and interact with one another with God in prayer and praise. It should be a mountaintop experience, as it was when our Lord was there with those folks in the wilderness and on the mountains in Israel. But is it really that? It kind of brings you up short when you read that a recent Gallup poll indicated that Sunday morning worship is considered by most people to be an important duty. But it's also considered one of the most boring times of the week. Something to say, I think, about what we need to do with that model for ministry as we reach out to people with the joyful good news of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's suppose the model holds, and like our Lord, the pastor has fed the people in the church service with word and sacrament dramatically, dynamically, and meaningfully, and the Spirit has worked. Now what happens? And there's that gnawing question again, isn't it? What happens when the church service is over? Think about this. There are two ancient liturgical dismissals that were traditionally used at the close of the Mass. One of them kind of amuses me. It was, "Go, the Mass is over," and the response is, "Thanks be to God." And it always sounds to me like they're saying, thank God the Mass is over. But there's another one, I think, more appropriate dismissal, in which the priest says to the people, go, you are sent forth to bear fruit. And the people respond, we will bear witness, O Lord. And that leads us back to our Lord's model for ministry in the text in front of us. Catch what happened there even before Jesus had finished that service in the wilderness. He sent his disciples on ahead of him to prepare a place in the countryside where he was going. He told them to get into a boat and go over on the other side of the lake. Now, I know that in this particular example, he got to them in the boat before they got to where they were going. But it's one of many illustrations of our Lord sending these lay people who were his disciples out to prepare a place for them, as he would do, incidentally, in a very special way after his resurrection. Remember, the disciples were the lay folks of the church at that point. They were fishermen and tax collectors and people who had been called out of secular callings to do the work of the Lord. And that, I think, is the second model for ministry in this text. The model of the pastor preparing his people for ministry and then sending them out to do the task for which he has prepared them. Pastor's task and the real challenge of being a pastor is to send people like that, ordinary people, lay people, into ministry, to charge them, as in the ancient dismissal, to bear fruit and to move them to the committed response, we will bear witness, O Lord. It was interesting to me at a church where I worshiped recently, on the place in the church bulletin where it usually lists who the staff is of the congregation. This particular bulletin has listed pastor and then the pastor's name, and then and it's an organist and so forth and so on. And then it says ministers, and behind that it says all the members of the congregation. And that's really what ministry is all about. And if you read on your little blurb in your worship order, you know that I'm the public relations manager for the International Lutheran Layman's League, and that's where we bring that in. The International Lutheran Layman's League is a service organization to help the ministers of the church, the lay people of the church, do their job of witnessing. It's an organization of people with a purpose, people who, because of the pastor's equipping, are ready and willing to witness to their Lord in the local congregation through service projects, in the local community by reaching out with the evangelism ministry, and out into the world through their sponsorship and support of the radio and television ministries of the church. And those media ministries are still important ministries when the gospel is being preached, even though they've been called in question a lot over the last few days. International Lutheran Layman's League is a people committed to ministry. It's lay people who take seriously the challenge of having been sent into ministry. That's what it's supposed to be, and that's what it can be by the grace of God. If you, as you get out into the pastoral ministry, will help the lay folks to be that. I've had a lot of opportunities to speak to many of you in classes. I've spoken in this chapel before. We've talked about the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour. We've talked about our ministry through This is the Life. We've talked about the programs and projects through which the League reaches out with the gospel. But I'd like to remind you this morning that all of those are simply means. Those are programs. Means by which the lay people of the church, associated with organizations like the International Lutheran Layman's League and the LWML and others, the means by which these lay people of the church, ministers who are equipped by you as pastors for their ministry, exercise the ministry to which they have been called. You're the senders. We'll send them out into ministry, in the local congregation, in the local community, and out into the world. There's a third model for ministry in this text, which is probably, admittedly, the focus of the text, and it's the most important one. After sending the people away, Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Don't forget that in your model for ministry. If you're honest with yourself, you know that it happens, and if I'm honest with myself, I know it happens because it happens to me. We get so busy that somehow the time for prayer gets neglected or sloughed over. But personal prayer is an important part of our personal lives, and it's an important part of our ministry. As important as visiting the sick is praying for them. As important as counseling with the distressed is remembering them in prayer. And yes, I'll say it, as important as contributing financially to the work of the International Lutheran Layman's League is remembering our ministries in your personal prayers. Jesus' prayer life, evidenced in this place in the Scripture and in many other places in the Gospel, was an integral part of his ministry. It wasn't something off to the side, it was a part of that ministry. And it must be an important part of ours, both as pastors and as lay people. So I think in these little words in this text today, there's a real model for ministry. The pastor equips and trains the people through word and sacraments. People are sent out to be ministers in the world. And the people of God, pastors and lay people alike, are often in prayer as an important and integral part of their ministry in the world. Some of you in recent days have just been called into the pastoral ministry. Others of you who are here on the staff or whatever, or here for the workshop, have been in that ministry for many years. Some of you may be called to lay ministry in the church and will remain in that ministry. But if there's one thought that I want to leave with you by the power of the Holy Spirit and the basis of this text, is that as we look to Jesus as our model for ministry, may we commit ourselves to, together, pastors and lay people, as the whole people of God, may we commit ourselves together by the power of the Holy Spirit to be powerful witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.